So, again, we're wrapping up the topic of tree maintenance during Shemitah. And we had first talked about how certain acts of caring for trees are permitted even during Shemitah itself. Forget the run-up to Shemitah, but during Shemitah proper because of Hefsid in order to prevent loss. And we talked about allowing watering and extending that to allowing other rabbinically prohibited acts to prevent the tree from being ruined. The second area that we discussed was what's called oak me'ilana, actions that are involved not in preventing loss, but actions that are involved in maintaining a tree, and saying that those are permitted. And we saw the Gemara Moed Katan, we saw the Gemara Avodah Zarah, and we asked, so why would you be allowed to maintain a tree during Shemitah? One school of thought is this is just another example of preventing loss. And that was the take of Rashi, that seemed to be the take of the Rambam. And then the other view, which is championed by the Chazon Ish, is that it's actually not called Avodas Sadeh V'Karim. It's not called the type of work of a field, of a vineyard, that you would prohibit during Shemitah, because you're just maintaining a tree. That brought us to our last question, which we addressed last time, the question of which levels of prohibition are going to be mutter la'okume for the sake of maintaining a tree, bless you. And the main view was that we permit rabbinically prohibited malacha. That's what we're going to allow. That's what we talked about last time. That was the Rosh. We talked about hoeing, anointing a stump with oil. But would it in fact even permit a deoraisa? Would it permit biblical malacha? We're up to source membeis is where we're starting with a line from Rashi. Okay? Where the Gemara had said, Sachin Shemen Legizum, if you have a tree and you've lopped off a branch from the tree in order to cause other branches to go around it, you did that legitimately before Shemitah ever came around. But there's now an injury to the tree, and you need to treat the injury by rubbing oil on the injury. So we said you're allowed to do that. And Rashi here comments in Source Membeis, why are you allowed to do this? Kedei shelo yamus ha'ilan, so that the tree won't die, im nigzam kodem lachein, if it had been lopped off beforehand, malacha shi avodas karka asa rachmana, because the Torah only prohibited malacha, that is, working the land, vahani lav meleches karka ninhu de okume ilana be'almohu. This isn't called working the land, because you're just maintaining the tree, shaloyamas, to keep it from dying. Ve'in mashbicho le'ilan elamamidu bechmoshu. All you're doing is maintaining the tree as is. You're not improving it. So Rashi's language really indicates not, I'm allowed to do this because otherwise the tree would die, and therefore we're going to permit you to prevent loss. He's saying it was never usher in the first place, and even Araisa, the Torah never prohibited this. That's the implication of Rashi. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach was asked this question of whether you could permit deoraisas. Can you permit biblically prohibited malacha? Because it's only la'okume, it's only to maintain the tree. And at first he says no, but then he hedges. If you take a look at Mem Gimel, he says, Ha'im hutru gama vodos deoraisa la'okume ilana bichlala de la'okume shari. Would we say that biblically prohibited work is also going to be permitted under this heading of la'okume ilana, to maintain a tree? And he writes, Nira de avodos de araisa asiri. It appears that biblically prohibited tasks are prohibited. Share, heter charisha be'eser netios, I added in the words in brackets, kodem shavias, mevor b'yushami, duhukadesh lo yisyabshu. He says, after all, when they permit plowing in the run-up to Shemitah in a field that has a sufficient number of trees, right, going back to the time when you weren't allowed to do your malacha before Shemitah, when Shemitah was a de araisa. So they said, if you have a sufficient density of trees in a field, you're allowed to plow the field before Shemitah. Why? To keep the trees from drying out. That's okume ilana. And yet, it was only until Shemitah. You couldn't do it during Shemitah. Right? So again, the fact that you're telling me you can plow pre-Shemitah, but not during Shemitah, even though it's just maintenance of the tree, indicates that the maintenance tasks are not allowed during Shemitah, if they're the Oraisa. You follow? That's the idea. Vafilachi, he writes, Bishviyaz Atzma Asir. Even still, during Shemitah, you wouldn't be allowed to do it. So Rishon Zalman starts out saying, no, biblically prohibited will remain prohibited, even though it's just for the maintenance of the tree. Vayim Barish Moed Katan, Le'inyan Mashkin Beis Hashlachin. He says, look at the Gemara in the beginning of Moed Katan, we've seen it several times, which talks about irrigating a field that desperately needs the irrigation. right? And we permit it. But why do we permit it? Because of loss we permit it, not because of maintaining, because it's only maintenance. And they're only going to allow the Dirabanan. Actually, right, the Rosh Hashanah isn't necessarily going to distinguish between Okmei and Pseida. But his point is, only the Dirabanan, only the Rabbinic is allowed, not the Biblical. But then, he sort of walks back. And he says, Gam yesh makom lomar, there is room to say, Dehashka v'charisha sheragilin tamid la'asosan, chashivi shapir avoda sadeh v'karim, v'shapir asiri b'de'oraisa. It could be, he says, that irrigation and plowing are unique, because you do them all the time. And therefore, they fit into this category of avoda sadeh v'karem, the tasks of the field, the tasks of the vineyard, and therefore they're biblically prohibited. Ma she'enkein avoda sha'osin rak b'derech mikra, as opposed to that which you happen to do here and there. There's an occasional need; it's not an ongoing task. Efsher derag la'avruye chashuv lihikari b'shem avoda v'lo la'akumi. So it could be that if it's something you're only doing occasionally, then it will only be called prohibited work if it's improving the tree. But if it's maintenance and it's occasional, then it would not be prohibited. Ukmashirami Rashi Sham as well, and he says, you see this in Rashi in Avodah Zarah in Aval Sachin, and what he's talking about there, that's this idea of Shlomo Zalman, is essentially taking Rashi and the Ritva's definition of Avodah Sadeh Mekarim against the Ran and Imuka Yosef, which we saw last time, right? When the Gemara said, that which is prohibited during Shemitah is that which is work of fields and vineyards, right? So the position of the Ran and the Imuka Yosef was that which you do normally is not called important. That's not called chashuva. If you do it normally, it's not going to be prohibited. Rosh Shlomo Zalman is taking the opposite view. Something that you do normally is what's prohibited. That's exactly what we're saying, don't do. That's called avodah sadeh v'karem. That's what he's saying is prohibited. V'lachin, so he writes, afilu man desavar detoldos nami asiri min hatorah, even within the view that toldos are prohibited biblically, he'll permit it for maintenance purposes under these parameters. He says, I have to grant you that Nimuka Yosef said no, that something that is needed continually is not called Avodah Chashuva. I'm good with that. That doesn't mean we're wrong. It doesn't contradict what we're saying here. I'm not sure why he uses the words, it doesn't contradict what we're saying. It does contradict what we're saying. I'm not clear on that. But he says, V'ayim b'shabbat ha'aretz, si Rav Kook, u'v'hachashviyas la'agon, Rav Yechiel Mechot HaKachinsky, shakasvu demutr la'okumei af b'zimur de'araisa. He says, Shabbat ha'aretz and Rav Yechiel Mechot HaKachinsky both said that you're allowed to maintain the tree even by pruning, which is biblical. They rely on Rabbeinu Chananel in the Gemara Avodah Zarah Daf Nun. But he says, I don't see what compels them to say that. I don't think their source is right. And he goes on to explain why he doesn't think their source is right. I skipped it here. But he says the ruling is correct, that you would be allowed to do this. Their source from Rabbeinu Chananel I don't agree with. But their psak is right. Mishum devistaver shegam abaye desover shegam toldos asiri midi araisa gam kein sover hachklala delo kumeshari. Because he says it's logical to say that even Abaye, who says that toldos are biblically prohibited, nonetheless he will allow okume, he will allow maintenance. And the pruning he's viewing as maintenance, not helping it to grow further. He's distinguishing between cutting back that helps it to grow and cutting back that just maintains the survival of what is. But the point that emerges from this, and what I wanted to make sure to see, is that you have, even within the view of Rav Shlomo Zalman, you have the possibility of certain biblically prohibited tasks being permitted for the sake of maintaining the tree, so long as it's only maintenance. That's really the key point. Which brings me to our last stage in this discussion, which is, when you say that we're permitted to do certain things to maintain a tree, as opposed to increase its growth, what counts as preventing harm? Two questions. Number one, would we distinguish between natural deterioration that I want to prevent and an external harm? There's a plague of locusts that are attacking, and there's something I need to do to the tree so it can survive that. Right? There's some kind of blight going on. I need to do something so that it'll survive the blight. It's an external attack. What is it that I'm allowed to maintain? That's one question. And then the second question, in addition, is what about protecting the fruit? Does that count under this heter of maintaining? So in terms of the first point, what about the natural deterioration? Rav Kook in Shabbat Haaretz, its source Mem Dalet, says, Yesh Omrim, some say, Shekol Achiluk Shebein La'ok Me'ilana U'la'avruya Yilana, some say the distinction between maintaining the tree and improving it, Eino Ki'im B'malacha Shehin D'Rabbanan, is only regarding rabbinically prohibited tasks, Shehilok Me'ilana Habehafsid V'lo Gazur Rabbanan, taking the view that you're allowed to maintain the tree in order to prevent loss if it's only a rabbinically prohibited act. He's not in the Chazon Ish's camp. Ulafize, based on this, Bizomer Shuhu Malacha Asura Minat Torah, if you're dealing with pruning, which is biblically prohibited, Ein Hafresh Bein La'ok Me'ilana Ola Avriyei Olalam Huasir. Right? It doesn't matter whether it's maintaining or improving. It doesn't make a difference. It's going to be prohibited either way. V'chol ha-heterim v'mizanev v'gifanim v'koteitz kanim akayote bazeh. All the heterim involved in cutting off bits of the grapevines and the reed. He says, Einam ne'emarim ki'im k'shem iskavim la'etzim. That's only allowed where you're cutting it because you want the wood, not where you're doing it to improve the grapevine or the branch or whatever it is. If your point is to benefit by this, even if it maintains the tree, just maintains it, nonetheless it's going to be usur. So Rav Kook until now has just said that we're distinguishing between biblical and rabbinically prohibited acts, but now we get to the key point, which I underline. Ulefi zeh, based on this, yiyeh hazimur shu kedei laharich yamav shel hagefen gam kein asur min haTorah. Pruning which is done just to extend the life of the grapevine is going to be biblically prohibited, because you're doing it in order to advance the care of this grapevine. So Rav Kook's position is that Ok Me'ilana will not permit you to prune it in order to extend the natural life of the thing. Now, the truth is, as I'm reading it, this isn't a good proof of my point. What I wanted to use with Kook was to say that you're not allowed to do things that are to lengthen the natural life. No, this does work. I'm sorry. This is good. It's a within of a within. Let me explain what I mean. Rav Kook isn't going to permit me to do Del-Raisa's La'ok Me'ilana anyway. Whether I define Ok Me'ilana as maintaining the natural health, or whether I define Ok Me'ilana as protecting it from an external attack, doesn't make a difference. Rav Kook is not going to allow me to do Del-Raisa's. So don't look at this in terms of what his ruling is. What the value of this source is, that he defines Ok Me'ilana in the process of discarding it. But he defines Ok Me'ilana as Laha'arich Yamav Shel Hagefen, extending the natural life of the grapevine. In other words, he's taking a narrow definition of maintenance. You follow? Do you see what he's saying? He doesn't allow it here because it's a biblical act. But his point is, the definition of Ok Me'ilana is that which you would do to extend the natural life of the thing, not to fend off an attack. He didn't mention fending off attacks. But extending natural life is. That's the key point. Rav Kook takes the view, again, maintaining it. If I were going to permit maintaining it, it would be where you're extending the life.
How about the previous line? What do you make the field between Shemiskav and Leitzi versus Kisabi and Koelis HaVoda? Is that also necessary for defining the
Well, in other words, as a separate question, is intent needed in order to define something as La'okme? I think that's what he's saying, yes. Now, it's a double effect question.
What is, I don't even know what that means. What is Koelis HaVoda?
The fact that the tree will now grow better because I cut off this piece.
As opposed to eight seed? Meaning, what does it mean?
As opposed to where I want the wood for a fire.
Oh, that's a misconception.
Yeah. So that's the position that Rav Kook takes, is that extending the natural life of it is ok me'ilana. The Chazon Ish seems to disagree in source Mem Hei. The Chazon Ish says that ok me'ilana is specifically protecting it from an external force. If you take a look at source Mem Hei, the Chazon Ish says the following: Ein mizardin. So what is Ein Mizardin? Pirish Rashi Shemeser Yaveshim Balachim. Rashi says it means pulling off, removing the dried out or moist branches for that matter. Sheyesh Lo Anafim Yoser Midai. Unlike certain acts of pruning, which is specifically where I knock off the dead branches, here you knock off dead and live branches, just because it has too much growth to support. So you get rid of the branches to allow the tree to survive. So he says, Nira da'af im osep peros yosem idai achshav. He says, even if the problem that the tree is having is that it's producing too much fruit. This is a phenomenon which I want to research from a botanical perspective. But the idea that if a tree produces too much fruit, it's actually going to be bad for the tree and is going to damage it in terms of its future ability to produce.
Even if it's not literally fruit, but there's too many branches.
Too many
leaves, things like that.
Right, too many branches, yes. It's interesting to think of it in terms of the fruit. I mean, it's. I'm not challenging the legitimacy of it. I'm just finding it very interesting that the tree is in danger because of its producing so much. We do find that, yes, we find it regarding branches. We find it regarding flowers also. There is such an issue regarding flowers. They tell you if you have tulips, and it's, I suppose not just tulips, but any bulb. But if you have tulips, once you don't want the flower anymore, let's say the flowers already start to deteriorate, you cut off the stem in order that the bulb will be able to start regenerating instead of putting all of its energy into trying to support a dead flower.
The fruit is pumping all of its energy.
So, yeah, I mean energy, nutrients,
right.
You know, whatever.
Water. I read something once that if a plant experiences stress, it actually gives more fruit.
Right, there is some behind this, yes.
So, I don't know if it's related to that. If it's producing so much fruit, it must be under some kind of stress. So you want to...
That's interesting. That I don't know. He doesn't take it that deeply. You're removing the source of stress. But the Chazon Ish says that if it's producing too much fruit, since it will be damaged and it will dry out as a result of that, because it's producing too much fruit, mikre avrei ilana, that's called improving the tree. Da'amada al maskuntao havi avruya v'chashiv nitiya, because giving it its proper form, matkonet, that's actually called improving it, and that's an act of planting. Velo mikri ok me ilana ela atzulei hefsein min hachutz. It's not called maintaining the tree unless you are actually preventing it from being harmed from something external. That's the statement that the Chazon Ish makes. So unlike Rav Shlomo Zalman, unlike Rav Kook, who said maintaining the tree is talking about where you are protecting it from, where you're extending its life.
It's just keeping it even. You're not improving it all. You're just keeping it steady.
Within Rav Kook. Right, within Rav Kook, it's, just extending its current life, and I take care of it, or I take care of it. The Chazon Ish says, no, if the natural lifespan of the tree is that it's going to deteriorate because it's producing too much or whatever it is, so be it. Ok me'ilana means that there's locusts attacking, and I need to do something to keep the locusts out. The sun is beating down on it too much, so I need to create shade. That is ok. So I thought that was a really interesting distinction. The last piece is the question about preventing harm to the fruit. So we've seen bits and pieces of this here and there already in other shiurim. But Rav Kook's position is that even though you have a heter of preventing harm to the tree, you do not have a heter of preventing harm to the fruit. And he writes about this in Shabbat Haaretz and in Mishpat Kohen, his Tshuvos. If you take a look at source Mem Dalet, this is from Shabbat Haaretz. He writes, Yesh Omrim, Shekol Hachiluk Shebein Laok Meilana Ulavruya Ilana, Eino Kiim Bimalachos Shehin De Rabbanan. Some say that the entire distinction. Oh, wait a minute. What did I just do? Yeah, Memvav, sorry, Memvav. V'chein Ein Mechavnim. And also, you're not allowed to be mechavein. To be mechavein here is like to smooth out a surface. So he says, you're not allowed to smooth out the branch. Shulakot says, hakotzim hayotzim min ha'ilan, which is to pull off the thorns that are coming out of the tree, hamazikim esaperos, which harm the fruit. Right? You see it on citrus. There are certain citruses where you'll see that. So these protrusions are going to, if they touch the fruit, are going to bruise the fruit. Yeah, Esther, yes. So he says, hamazikim esaperos, they harm the fruit. V'zeh asur l'choladeos. Everybody agrees that you're not allowed to do that. Sha'afilu ha'omim shemudir lasos avoda shehila ok me'ilana afilu b'gufa ilan. Even within the view that you're allowed to do avoda, which maintains the tree, and even on the body of the tree, separate from the discussion which we didn't really get into about whether you can do something on the body of the tree versus elsewhere, we haven't touched that. But he says, even within the view that you can maintain it, zeu davka l'ha'amidis ha'ilan, that's to maintain the tree. Sheyeya ra'oi la'avodaso la'achar ha'shmitas, that the tree will be usable after shmita's over. Aval avoda shilib sarach ha'peros, but if it's with a fruit, la'olam asura, always going to be prohibited. Shemashu l'tzarach ha'peros hifkia Torah, that which is for the sake of the fruit, the Torah prohibited, said, no, you can't do that. Shivkiras perish shvias lakol, because it said the fruit is for everybody. Vesilka yada bailamayim, it removed the hand of the owners from that. Vafilu kashem nevadim asur lasos avoda b'shvilam, even if the fruit will be lost, too bad. That's the way it goes. It's hefker, it's not yours. You can't do things now to maintain the fruit. It's not your fruit. It's effectively not your loss, essentially. In Mishpat Kohen, he expands on it in response to a letter regarding such matters in Mem Zayin. And he writes, Higiani Mechtavo Hayakar, etc., Sheheir, etc. That's Baal Devar Divrei Torah, perhaps. Sheheir Kvod Torah Sarav Alma Shekasa B'Shabbat HaAretz Deletzarach Perishviyas Ein Heter Avoda Afil La'okume. I had written in Shabbat HaAretz, we just saw it, that you're only allowed to maintain, and shekem and shatar if kiras aperos ain svarshiya avoda mutaris kedei laokume shati avoda mutaris kedei laokume osan, and that since the fruit is hefker, you can't maintain the tree in order to produce to protect the fruit. Umikol shekem lefitamo shel Rambam ba'alachayud, and certainly according to the Rambam's view, the Rambam said the reason I can maintain the tree is to keep the earth, the ground, from being ruined. Right? We almost call it Shabbat, the tree from dying. That has nothing to do with helping maintain the fruit of Shemitah itself. We don't have to worry about, bless you, about their survival. So he says, for sure. And he says, he says, and you see it in Rashi, and I brought you the Rashi in the brackets. When the Gemara there says that you're allowed to water the earth in a field, Erev Shvius, so that the vegetables will emerge in Shvius, right? That's what you're allowed to do, because you want the vegetables from pre-Shemitah. You're not watering in order to get vegetables of year 7, you're watering to get vegetables of year 6. And he points similarly to a practice called Sokrin Besikra. This is a very strange practice. I haven't been able to find a botanical basis for this. But if your tree was producing fruit that was falling early in the season, they would dye the branches, D-Y-E, with some kind of a red dye, this sikra. And that was supposed to somehow drain the strength of the branch. I don't know if there was an ingredient in the sikra that was leached into the branch, and that was what, you know, was doing something to keep the fruit from maturing early, or whether it was shielding it from light. It was like reflecting the sunlight, but it's on the branch, not on the leaves. I have no idea how this works. I haven't been able to find a reference to it in secular botany. So I don't know what this is.
Make it fall off earlier. It's shielding it from sunlight.
Actually, yes. It's more, well, certainly the leaves. It'll make the leaves fall off earlier. Yeah. And about the fruit. But I don't know what this is. I don't know what I'm talking about. But this is what they did. They brought in the Yerushalmi. And remember, fundamental rule. All their practices were based on observation. This isn't, I have a pasuk that's telling me, use sikra on the branch. There's an observation that this worked for somebody. So for whatever reason, whatever was functional here, you would put this red dye on the branches, and it was supposed to drain the strain so that the fruit would not fall off early. So what he writes is, Sokrat Visigra the Mutter Kadeshla Yeshura Aperos, this act of dying the branch so that the fruit doesn't fall off. Sarach Lomar O the Mayra Bielan Shesh Allah Perish Nigmar Gidula Meir Shvias. Shaykh Dushashvias no Hegis. And it must be talking about fruit from year 6. And therefore it doesn't have the status of Shemitah. V'shavir dami, and it's a good thing to do. It's okay to do latzila mehefzit to prevent loss shel yishoru v'yiskaklu kodem l'kitasim, so they don't fall off and get ruined before they can be collected. Oh, she'ikar akavanu hu l'shanu l'tova es teva ha'ilan b'chwalo, or if what you're doing is trying to alter the tree's fundamental nature by doing this. U'meila lo yashir es perosav gamki v'sh'arshnos ha'shavua, and therefore it won't drop its fruit the rest of the 7-year cycle. But either way, he says it can't be that you're allowed to do this for the sake of the Shemitah fruit. And Chazanish disagrees. Chazanish says it's the fruit of this year that you're allowed to maintain. And he says that in Tez Zayin Dalet, he says it in Chaf Aleph Yud Dalet, in Tez Zayin Dalet and Chaf Aleph Yud Dalet. In Source Memches, he quotes B'Simet Tez Zayin Sipkatan Dalet, his own question from earlier, that they were bothered by Niskashinu B'Lashon Rambam Shekasatan Heter Hashkak Deish Lo Tezay Asay Ha'aretz Melecha V'Yamus Kol Eitz. The Rambam wrote the reason you're allowed to water is, as Rav Kook noted, so that the ground won't be ruined, so that the tree won't die. So that's the Rambam. But he says the Gemara indicates that Shemitah is like Chol HaMoed, that you're allowed to do it because you'd want to avoid the loss of Yivul Haaretz. That's the produce itself. He says the way to read the Rambam is when the Rambam says you don't want the tree to die, you don't mean that literally. That's not what we're trying to prevent, so that there will never be any fruit anymore. It'll die, so to speak, in this year. And it will not ripen its fruit. And as far as the land being, the earth being salted, he means, and then the tree will die and it won't produce this year. The position of the Chazon Ish is that what you're trying to prevent is the damage being caused to the tree for this year's fruit. That's the that's what he writes, and he says, "I'll prove it to you." Teda, the Rabbi Yochanan bar Abaye Svirlu who told us de'o raisa v'imkei lo itiruela bisman azeh. He says, within the view that the toldos are prohibited biblically, so watering is prohibited biblically, it's only permitted today. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, you would not be allowed to water it. So he says, according to them. If so, you know what's going to happen? All those trees that are living in areas that require irrigation, they're all dead. Right? And if, in fact, all trees have the status of Beis HaShlachan, a point he made in Siman Tet Zayin, Yomusu Kol Atzei Haaretz, then all the trees in all of Israel are going to die. Right? Because you told me you can't water them. And when they plant after Shemitah, that means you're out tree fruit, olives, grapes, until year 4, because of Arla and Ataravai. Vized Davar Nimna. He says, that's impossible. That's absolutely impossible, that you're redoing the land's trees. It doesn't make any sense. V'i iskaimu b'neis. And if you'll tell me, well, there's a miracle, and the trees survive without the water, that's an even better miracle than the bracha of, I'm going to give you so much produce in year 6 that you'll, and so on. So why didn't the Torah ever mention that? Why didn't the Gemara ever mention such a miracle going on? The answer is you are allowed to water, because okume includes okume peri. That's the Chazon Ish's position. And I have to say, he makes a compelling argument. Now, the Chazon Ish, note, is taking the Rambam l'shitaso. When he does this whole thing with the Rambam, he's taking the Rambam l'shitaso within his own view that the reason why you can do la'okme is not because la'okme is a different type of malacha, but because la'okme is to prevent hefzit, to prevent loss. He himself doesn't believe that. He believes la'okme is permitted because it's a different type of malacha. But that was the Rambam's view. last point is the Maril Diskin, who says, absolutely, you're allowed to do it for the sake of the fruit. Ah, but wait a minute, didn't Rav Kook say, your fruit is hefker, it's not yours? He says, that's not the way we look at Shemitah fruit. I thought this was a nice ending for a 3-week arc. He says, b'chol makom disharina n'isr mishum pseida yesh la'ayin emeina davar shalo kiyim hefker v'adayin lo zaha bey. He says, where we say that you're allowed to do something that otherwise would be prohibited to prevent loss, we have to examine if it's not yours because it's hefker and you haven't acquired it, will we still permit you to do this? Right? Like the point that Rav Kook made. By Anira Lahavi Raya, he says, you could prove this. He says, look at the Gemara Moed Katan, which we saw, which said that we permit you to prevent, say that to prevent loss, right?
Excuse me?
Even in a case where there's no loss for the land, only a loss of the fruit. That's how he reads Moed Katan. Ach yesh lomar, daha kevan de kasav kra ebyonei amecha, imkein chashivi hani peri de shaychi l'kla Yisrael. He says, no, because the fruit belongs to whom? Ebyonei amecha, the poor of your nation. If it's permitted, if the fruit is the property of the poor of your nation, then it belongs to everybody. He doesn't view hefker as ownerless. He views hefker as owned by everybody. And since it's owned by everybody, therefore you're allowed to act in order to prevent its destruction. That's his position. So to take a summary of today, he says, first of all, we said that we have this machlokas. Can you permit the deoraisas? Can you permit the biblicals? We saw from Rashi that you are allowed to permit the biblicals, la'okme ilana, to maintain the tree. Rishlama Zalman says certain things, perhaps, if they are not regular work. What is okme ilana? What about, so it's a debate. According to Rav Kook, it's lengthening the life of the plant. According to the Chazon Ish, it's preventing harm from external causes. And in terms of maintaining the fruit, Rav Kook says no, Chazon Ish says yes, and the Maril Diskin says yes. Rav Dash, I apologize for taking the time.